pray before we read. I found this really challenging and at the same time really encouraging as we look at these few verses of don't dampen the spirit, don't put out its fire. Anyway, let's pray. Living Lord, we come before you tonight. We know that you are highly exalted above everything and all things. The name which is given above every name. We thank you for the songs that we've been singing tonight that helps us just to release our worship to you. But Lord, we pray that now as we look at your word that's living too, we ask that by your spirit that you would speak to us. Encourage us, Lord, in our walk with you, we pray. Because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Thessalonians. I've got my wife's teeth in. I don't know what she's done this morning. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5. And verse 12 says, now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong. But always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil, and may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. This next bit is going to be really interesting as we leave church. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not put out his fire. So I looked it up in a few different versions. And these are what it says. Don't suppress the Spirit. Don't try and stop the Holy Spirit. Don't stifle the Spirit. Don't run away from the Spirit of God. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. And fire is, in the Bible, an image of the very presence of God. Remember Moses, when he kind of got his attention through that burning bush. It was a bush that was a flame with fire. Going through from Egypt, going right through to Canaan, the pillar of fire by night. The tabernacle with the offerings, consuming the burnt offerings right from the most holy place in the tabernacle. Elijah on Mount Carmel, the God who answers by fire. Isaiah chapter 6, the coals of fire from off the altar onto his lips and onto his tongue. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Acts chapter 2, what seemed to be on the disciples' heads, what seemed to be, they couldn't really make it out, what seemed to be tongues of fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Remember in the Garden of Eden, the angel with the sword, the flame of fire. And before any revival, I know that lots of people are praying for God to move in a mighty way on these islands. Like we talked about this morning, there's often a new conscience, a new conviction. There's a new confessing. There's a new cleansing as God begins to burn within his people. What do we do to put out a fire? Just a normal fire. I'm going to leave it open. What do we do? See if you've got exactly the same as what I've got on my list. Sorry? Remove the oxygen. He's a smart guy, isn't he? He's a smart guy, is he? Anything else? What do we do to put out a fire? It all depends on whether that's gas or electric, really. Sorry? 4999. Well done, that woman. Well done, just to be safe. Anything else? So, water on it, hose pipe, wet blanket, fire extinguisher, buckets of sand. Sorry? There's no need to be personal, John. A wet peat. What's that? Thanks, John. What's it talking about? Those who are in the Lord shall not be offended. Wet peat. That's even worse. I didn't get that either. What? It's getting worse, is this? What's that? Sorry, what did you say? Yes, no, I did. I got it. So wet peat, to put wet peat on to dampen a fire. Sorry, I'm just being awkward. No, I mean, there's lots and lots of things. The thing is that you and I don't usually put out a fire by accident. So what does it mean to put out the Spirit's fire? Because the Spirit of God naturally just burns. Well, these are some of the things: criticism, gossip, bitterness, disobeying, saying no, Lord, resisting God's call. There's lots and lots of things where you and I can really dampen and put out the Spirit's fire. God's not doing that today, etc., etc. There's such a lot that we can go into. And lighting a fire, coal, wood, and paper. We used to have a race, me and Ruth, on a morning, who could light the fire. And often she would, I can say this because she's not here, and I just don't know if I can trust all of you not to tell her, but anyway, she wouldn't open the vent. She could never understand why. She got all the right ingredients, but as Harry talked about, it needs oxygen. And she always used to forget to open the vent because it needs room to breathe. And so our heat, the heat within every believer, comes from God, the Holy Spirit, feeding the flame within our life by word and prayer and worship and fellowship and getting involved. And I guess the biggest need of churches today is to actually catch on fire and not to put out the fire of the Spirit. This is what Billy Graham said: the multitude starve for compassion, love, and companionship. They were attracted to Jesus as chilled men are drawn to glowing embers. His very words produce the heat of emotion. Remember the two people on the Emmaus Road as Jesus spoke to them? It says that did not our hearts burn within us as he spoke to us? So fire is quite contagious. I don't know about you, but I love being around kind of Spirit-filled people. Kind of unpredictable and dangerous, but there's something just attractive about that kind of person. And maybe even tonight we can think back, or even think in the present, of people that really inspire us. People who always seem to be on fire for God. I found this as I was studying, and it's a poem by Lord Byron, and it's a really sad one. And this is while they were in a spiritual decay. And this is what he said: I am ashes where once I was fire, and the soul of my bosom is dead, but what I loved now merely admire, and my heart is as grey as my head. I found that really sad for a guy to actually pen that. And so we've got Paul here as he encourages the church, and he warns them, and he says, don't quench the Spirit, but let the fire of the Spirit burn. Have you heard of death by chocolate? Have you heard of phrases like dead in the water? This one here, what I'm going to be talking about in a moment, is death in the desert. Just turn quickly in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 1. look at a few verses here as we go through this. This is Moses as he recounts the story of God's people in the wilderness wanderings. They've got no aim, they've got no vision. By the way, if you're kind of at a place that you don't know what to read, please read Deuteronomy. It is such a pivotal book. It's incredible. Moses here is kind of looking back and is reminding the people. It says, we sent 12 spies out to the promised land, the land of Canaan. And they come back with a report, verse 25. It's a good land that the Lord is giving to us. The next verse says what? So the people rose up, marched in, and took the good land the Lord had promised to give them. I wish it did, but it doesn't say that. It don't say that they just very quickly obeyed. No, they said these words. You were not willing, this is what Moses was talking about, you were not willing to go up. You rebelled against the command of the Lord. You grumbled in your tent saying that the Lord hates us. He brought us up out of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go? And this was their report. The people are stronger and taller than we are. The cities are large with walls high up to the sky. Yet all this were true. It were a good land flowing with milk and honey. Yeah, there were walls and giants and strong people. And God said, go in, go for it. You can't lose. I am with you. This is your land. But they would have to believe God enough to fight for it. God's not just going to drop down keys. God says, if you believe in me, then I want you to fight for this. Drive out the enemy from the land. And the people grumbled and they made excuses. They were putting out the spirit's fire within their lives. And so Kadesh Barnea, what a massive turning point for the whole generation. And what's interesting about all this is that they saw God's miracles, they walked across the Red Sea, and they still chose not, they just chose not to obey God. Verse 32 and verse 33, God was with them, fire by night. Every night when they looked out of their tents, they just saw this massive pillar of fire. Wow, God's here. He's protecting us, and he really, really cares for us. They saw this every night before they went to bed. But they still chose to go their own way. I've been looking at kind of working with God and working against God and dampening the spirit and then going with the spirit of God. Do I look fitter these days? Just lie, please. I need some encouragement. Do I look trimmer? You can't see properly anyway. You're out back and you've got glasses on. I just don't want anybody to answer truthfully from front. Just over the last 3 months, Morrig has lent me a bike. And it's just great to be able to get back on that bike again. Can you just raise your hands, those who love biking or those who go out with all these keep fit fanatics? That's three of us. There's four, maybe. There's five. I don't know about you, but when I'm on my bike, it's exhilarating. I love pedaling. But it's when I meet a headwind. And so I'm pedaling like mad and I feel like I'm not making up much ground. And I find it really challenging and difficult. And when you're on a bike and you're kind of getting up some speed and all of a sudden you hit this wind and you slow down and it takes a lot of energy and you don't feel like you're getting anywhere. You're pedaling with all your strength and the noise of the wind. Have you ever been on a bike where the wind, you can't hear anything? It's so, so loud. And then when you turn around and you decide to head for home, it's kind of a little bit different. Everything changes when you turn around. You begin to ride with the wind at your back and your pedaling becomes easier. And even when you come to a hill, you feel as though you're being pushed up the hill. And the sound of the wind seems to disappear and you actually feel like you're cruising, you're going to get caught for speeding. You kind of, do you know what I mean? You're really, really going for it. And so the first 30 minutes on a bike and you're struggling against the wind and it's noisy and it's hard and you're pedaling and it's tiring, and all of a sudden you turn around and you're going with the wind. There's a real joy and a freedom. And it's easier when we go with the wind. And I kind of sat down, this was a few days ago, and just kind of thought about that. And I thought, I think it's the same in the Christian life. When I'm not going with God, when I'm trying to dampen the spirit by sometimes a belief system, I find it hard. It's a bit like pedaling into the wind. And yet when I'm with God and with his flow and with his wind, and I'm going in that right direction as he's going, and it's a lot easier. It's really quite enjoyable. I know some of the youth have been looking at Eric Liddell this morning, the Chariots of Fire film. He's a guy that won the gold medal for the 400 metres in the Paris Olympics in 1924. And when his younger sister asked him a question, why he loved to run so much, this is what is the motto for his life. This is what he said. He said, "When I run, I feel God's pleasure." I didn't feel any pleasure when I was on my bike, kind of battling the wind and thinking, I'm not getting anywhere. Listen to this statement. Those who obey God feel his pleasure. Those who quench the spirit don't. It just don't get any clearer than that. Willing to go where he wants me to go, ready when he speaks to me, ready for anything, anytime, anywhere. I'm just going to bring things to a close before we sing, and then we go into communion. But I read this and I thought, I'm going to read this tonight. This is really great. Years ago in the National Park in California was the massive evening show. And as the sun was going down, the crowds gathered at Camp Curie, located by a lake below a large cliff called Glacier Point. The rangers built a gigantic bonfire on the top of Glacier Point. And once darkness had completely enveloped the valley, the call came piercing through the night. Are you ready? And the crowd shouted, "Let the fire fall." The rangers pushed the burning embers over the cliff, creating a spectacular firefall into the lake below. One writer describes it like this: high up at the Glacier Point, the living embers slowly began to fall and continues until they became a blazing stream of red and yellow, which as this stream of fire continued downwards, it became liquid threads of gold. What a beautiful picture. Are you ready? Let the fire fall. It's really interesting as we look at this. It's kind of a command. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. And as God has his way with us over and over again, it's a continual walk. When I look back, and maybe when we look back, we can look back at the things that I dampened the Spirit of God. I kind of threw a wet blanket over him. And here Paul is saying to the church, don't put out the Spirit's fire. Just before we sing, and we'll stay seated before we sing. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. I'm going to read it in a version, I think it's the Message version, but it says these words: never flag in zeal. Be aglow with the Spirit. Serve the Lord. I think one of the biggest challenges today for the church, it says, do not quench the Spirit of God. And I reckon for each and every one of us, it's a real challenge to know where we do that and learning how not to, so that the Holy Spirit of God can have his way in our lives every day and in the life of his church.